We now have a special report on a new possibility to help sustain the financially stressed Muncie Community Schools. An amendment to Indiana House Bill 1315 could give control of the Muncie Community Schools to Ball State University instead of a state-appointed emergency manager. The idea is far from a done deal. In fact, the amendment in question has not yet been attached to House Bill 1315. It has not yet received a vote from the House Ways and Means Committee, where it was presented on Wednesday. Ways and Means Chairman Tim Brown, a Republican from Crawfordsville, wrote the amendment to House Bill 1315. Brown said the amendment pertains to the Muncie Community Schools, not to other struggling school districts. Brown was the lawmaker who introduced legislation last year to put MCS under partial state control. What we do know this morning is the amendment would permit Ball State's Board of Trustees to adopt a resolution to govern the Muncie Community School Corporation using a newly appointed 7-member governing board. 5 elected school board members currently comprise the MCS board. If the measure is adopted by lawmakers, Ball State's trustees would select 5 members of the MCS board. Ball State's president, Jeffrey Mearns, would submit the nominations to the Ball State Board. Muncie City Council and Mayor would each have 1 appointment to the new 7-member board. What happens to the roles of the 5 elected school board members is not yet certain. The timing of the amendment and House Bill 1315 could follow this path. The bill would likely be out of the House Ways and Means Committee next week. It would then travel to the full House for an up or down vote in mid to late February. The measure would then go to the Senate for consideration in mid-March, then to a conference committee for possible compromises, then final votes in both chambers, and then to Governor Holcomb. If approved, the Ball State trustees would be granted permission to approve or disapprove. The earliest anything would be enacted by the university's trustees would be the first week of April. Now for some background. The Muncie Community School System has been in dire financial straits for several years. As of January 1st, the school system came under full state control after the 5-member Distressed Unit Appeal Board of the state, or DUAB, voted unanimously in December to keep Muncie Community Schools under state control. MCS had been under partial state control during 2017. The school system is designated by the state as a distressed political subdivision. The December DUAB vote specified administrator assistants would be in charge of MCS for several months until DUAB can complete a search process for a permanent manager. Administrator assistants, we should note, is allowed to compete for that permanent contract. However, with this week's developments, lawmakers could decide otherwise. DUAB board members said in December, in so many words, that progress had been made in balancing the books, but not enough. According to reports filed with DUAB, the district still has $43 million in long-term debt, including $9 million in 2014 building maintenance bonds that were used instead for the general fund. In 2017, under partial state control, MCS Emergency Manager Administrator Assistants restructured the district's bonds, created a balanced budget for 2018, negotiated a new teacher's contract, and negotiated the sale of Northside Middle School to Ball State. 4 other parcels, including 3 former elementary school properties, were sold. Under the distressed political subdivision resolution, MCS needs to operate with a positive cash flow for at least 2 years and meet other criteria DUAB sets before local control can be restored. The amendment to House Bill 1315 caught several people in Muncie off guard. As of a Wednesday afternoon meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to discuss the overall bill, Ball State President Jeffrey Mearns was one of the only officials from Muncie to have read the amendment. We understand President Mearns discussed the amendment with 2 lawmakers representing Muncie before he testified before the Ways and Means Committee on the measure. Those lawmakers were Democratic Representative Sue Arrington of Muncie and Democratic Senator Tim Lannon of Anderson. Wednesday afternoon, Muncie Community Schools officials said they had not heard about the amendment at all and therefore could make no official comment on the idea. The Star Press reported Muncie Mayor Dennis Tyler, current Muncie School Board members, and teachers' union leadership also were caught unaware of the amendment. The original version of the bill would give the university permission to create laboratory schools within the school district using existing school buildings. Wednesday, President Mearns said the amendment included a timeline for the university to come up with a management plan for the district. The Ways and Means Committee is expected to vote on the amendment and the passage of the full school finances-related bill sometime next week. IPR's Stephanie Weekman and Tony Sandleben contributed to this report and have been following the MCS story for months. And this morning, we meet and greet President Jeffrey Murns of Ball State University here on IPR. Welcome, and thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, how and when did all of this proposed amendment business get started, and from where did the amendment originate?
Well, on December 13th, as you may recall, was the meeting of the DUAB board in Indianapolis, where the board gathered to decide whether or not Muncie Schools had made sufficient progress to be relieved from state oversight. And it was at the conclusion of that hearing, after the board had voted that progress, while they had made some progress, it was not sufficient, that the chair of the board, Micah Vincent, specifically asked the community, the Muncie community, to be a part of the solution going forward. And he then specifically called on the university to consider what role we might play in that community solution. 2 days later, coincidentally, our board met on December 15th. And at the conclusion of that meeting, the chair of our board, Rick Hall, in public, turned to me and said, you know, recalled what Mr. Vincent had said and directed me to move actively and engage and consult with members of the university community and also with the community more broadly. And so it was really as a result of that invitation that we began consulting with DUAB staff and with Mr. Vincent, and then we brought in a couple members of the General Assembly. So it was a very quick process that led to the amendment just on Wednesday.
Do you know why the mayor, city council, teachers, and area lawmakers were not consulted well before the Ways and Means Committee hearing on the amendment, or did they have any idea at all that this could be a possibility?
Well, I don't know whether they were aware of this specific possibility. Certainly, they were aware that of what Mr. Vincent had said and the call to action for the community. You know, it was incumbent upon me and those of us at the university to defer to the members of the General Assembly about the legislative process. But what I think is much more important today, as we sit here today and as we embrace what I believe is a very special historic opportunity for us, we very much want to engage with the community. I've had the opportunity to meet with Representative Arrington and meet with Senator Lannan, and I know that they care very much about this community and in particular about the education of our children. I also had a chance to speak yesterday evening with the mayor, and he and I are going to get together next week. And so the process of consultation will continue, and I think that's what's more important, that as we work through the legislative process, we continue to engage the community in the solution.
So do you feel that communication and the overall relationship with the mayor, city council, and other people who were caught unaware of this is all right?
Well, you'll have to ask them. I mm-hmm. understand why they were surprised and mm-hmm. perhaps disappointed. What I've asked them to do, and they've been very gracious in extending this courtesy to me, is what I've asked them to do is reflect on the substance of this proposal, to contemplate, to put aside that particular issue, and let's focus on the potential solution and what's in the best interest of our community, what's in the best interest of our children. And I've not been here long, but I've had good working relationships with them, and I'm very confident that they care very deeply about the solution. And so I'm confident that we can work together.
Has this kind of thing ever been done before in the state or the country?
To our knowledge, there has not been a similar arrangement where a public university has assumed the responsibility for a entire public school system. The only arrangement that we're familiar with that's close to that is in the late 1980s, the small school district in urban Boston, Chelsea Schools, public schools, mm-hmm. contracted with Boston University. So that was a private university, and that was a contractual arrangement. Lasted approximately 20 years, but that's the only one that we think is even comparable. So this would be an innovative and bold solution to the challenge we're facing here in Muncie. And I believe if we're successful, it might provide some guidance for other communities in Indiana and perhaps all across the country.
So as far as you know, a state university has never been called into this sort of action before by its president and trustees in this. If this arrangement comes about, this would be a national first?
We believe so. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a copy of the amendment, and is it publicly available anywhere?
I believe it is publicly available, and we'll be happy to provide you with a copy. I believe Chairman Brown shared it with his committee on Wednesday, so I do believe it's publicly available.
Okay, we'll get that up on our website at indianapublicradio.org as soon as we get a hold of it then. What kind of feedback have you gotten from community leaders, other perhaps than the mayor and city council with whom you've spoken, and the Muncie public at large? What have you been getting at your office?
So the response to my office, as you may know, Stan, I sent out an email to the campus community and to the alumni and friends of the university that was then distributed more broadly. I sent that out on Wednesday afternoon after the hearing. And the responses that I've received back have been overwhelmingly positive. Many people, not just positive, but effusively so, speaking about how this makes them proud about the university, that the university is stepping up to this responsibility, a sense of optimism and enthusiasm about what this innovative solution could bring to the children of our community, and in turn then the impact that it will have, the positive impact that it will have on Muncie and Delaware County.
Well, social media has been ablaze with a lot of questions on the subject, as you know. Some people say, in so many words, that should the amended bill pass, that their local school board votes here in Muncie would be trashed. How would you respond to those folks?
Well, so first of all, an appointed school board is not a novel concept in Indiana. There are actually 9 school districts in our state that have appointed school boards. And so while we're not seeking to disenfranchise any voter, what we're looking to do is to create a mechanism that would attract those people who have the skills and the ability to serve our school corporation.
And what would happen to the 5 elected members? Would their terms be terminated by the state then?
Or? Well, so if as we know, under the current their current status right now is they have no legal authority to manage the school corporation. That authority now rests with the emergency manager. If this legislation is passed, and if our board passes a resolution to accept this responsibility, then effective July 1st, the legal responsibility will reside with the appointed board.
Okay. Now, you've said that I think this is far superior to a state takeover, quoting you here, along the lines of an emergency manager. This is a community solution to a community challenge. So Ball State, clearly in Muncie, has been forever. It's 100 years now. And it has an intimate knowledge of the community. Is that institutional memory, if you will, with the city and the community, that which could help the school system and the expertise, of course, of the professionals here? Is that what you're saying with that statement?
Well, so here's what how I envision and why I believe this is an historic opportunity, why this is a positive solution, is first of all, the current arrangement that's contemplated by the statute, the current situation we're in, is we're a distressed district that is now being managed by a state agency that is contracting with an organization presently that, while it has some local connections, is not a local entity. Mm-hmm. So this would be a community solution led by an anchor institution that has been in this community now for 100 years, that has a vested interest in the future of this community, that has experience in education. We were founded as a teacher's college. We not only could tap into the expertise that exists within teacher's college, but we could mobilize our faculty and staff and students in colleges and programs all across our campus to contribute their ideas. I also believe I've begun to speak with people out in the community, and I've asked them to consider ways in which they can become more deeply engaged in the schools. So we intend to partner with anybody who's willing to partner with us, corporations and banks. Jeff Byrd, I've had conversations with the president of Ball Memorial, and he is all in on this concept. Another piece that I think is distinctly positive about this approach compared to the current situation is this kind of approach has the capacity to attract substantial philanthropic investments. Mm-hmm. I think if we simply focus on trying to balance the budget, we're not going to persuade major foundations, either in Indiana or anywhere across the country, to come bail out the Muncie Community Schools. But if we develop together, in consultation with the community, innovative solutions, we have the capacity to attract, I believe, the capacity to attract that kind of philanthropy. And just to give you a sense of the magnitude of those resources, because let's remember, the folks in Indianapolis, our General Assembly, have made clear that they don't intend to direct substantial resources to bail out the finances. We're going to have to solve that problem. We're going to get some, maybe a little bit of help, but they're not going to provide substantial financial help. So anything we can do that would bring outside resources in is a good thing. So let me just give you some context. The Mott Foundation, a major foundation in the country, is committed more than $50 million to the public schools in Flint, Michigan. The Kellogg Foundation has committed more than $50 million to the Battle Creek Public Schools. So this, we believe that if we put together an innovative community-based solution with community participation, that we have the capacity to attract that kind of funding. That would, in my estimation, be a game changer. But on a more immediate level, this solution would remove us from this notion of being a distressed district. And we've heard over the last 6, 7, 8 months since that original legislation was passed last spring, that just that label alone communicated a lack of confidence in our community schools. And so it's just simply lifting that cloud, I believe, will help us to begin to turn the corner and get on an upward trajectory.
Well, if passed, how do you imagine this arrangement? How long would it last?
Well, so the legislation as proposed is indefinite. Mm-hmm. But more immediately, what I think is significant is in our consultations with Chairman Brown, as he was drafting the legislation, we asked for a substantial period of time to develop this community solution. So if you'll see in the legislation, if this becomes a reality, we as a university and as a community would have 2 years to develop a plan, not just a financial plan, but an academic plan, a community engagement plan. And the reason that 2-year period was so important to us in our conversations with him is because we said for this plan to be successful, we need community participation, we need to build community trust, and so we need at least a year in that first year of that 2-year period to be involved in that community engagement. And he understood the need for community engagement. So I think that's a significant aspect of the legislation, is that we'll be given time beginning on July 1st to involve the community, to incorporate their ideas in the overall solution and plan.
Do you expect the measure to pass?
I think it's quite possible, but I'm new to this community, so I'm sure there's some political pundits that can do better prognostication than I can.
There's one question floating out on social media and down the hallway and around the corner, and that's a concern that Muncie Community School teachers would become Ball State employees. But what you're saying is Ball State will stay Ball State, and Muncie Community Schools will stay Muncie Community Schools.
Correct. Under this arrangement, the school corporation remains intact. The board would then hire a superintendent. That superintendent would hire his or her administrators and teachers. All of those people would remain employees of the Muncie schools.
All right. Well, let's shift over to Ball State for a moment, if we may. We've heard that finances at the university are tight right now, not just the usual tight, which we usually hear every year at any major institution, but tight. What is the status of the university's checkbook right now?
We are financially sound. Our budget is balanced. We anticipate that our revenues will meet or slightly exceed our expenses. We just have a very solid credit rating. And as you look across our campus, you can see that we have, for many years, had the capacity to invest in our people, in our programs, in our facilities. All you have to do is walk across campus, and you can see that this is a vibrant institution.
Are we in a financial position at Ball State, and also in a position with staff to take on this challenge with the community schools?
Well, and again, remember, under this proposal, we will not be investing university resources in terms of financial resources. We will be investing our ideas, mm-hmm. our innovative solution, but the finances of the Muncie School Corporation will remain completely independent from those of the university.
Ball State's Teachers College would clearly be involved, it would seem. What discussions have you had with that college?
So had several conversations with Dean Roy Weaver, and he is consulting quickly now with his colleagues there. But what I'm so, the reason, one of the reasons why I'm excited about this proposal is I sense an energy a yearning on our campus for all of our faculty, staff, and students to be involved, more deeply involved in the community. I've had the opportunity this fall, as you know, to visit all of the colleges, to speak with the faculty and staff, and I sense a real passion for helping Muncie thrive in the future. And I think this proposal will give us an opportunity to direct a substantial amount of that energy towards the children of our community.
And finally, do you see the measure succeeding? I believe we've talked about that before because, of course, no one can read the tea leaves any better than anybody else. But what do you foresee as the ultimate result of this, should it happen?
So this is going to take some time. That's why it's a long-term solution. We're not shooting simply to balance the budget that would exist under the present DUAB statute. Our goal is for this school corporation, for its academics to be recognized as the best educational opportunity for parents and their children in Delaware County. And it will take some time to get there, but I'm confident that over a substantial period of time, with the participation of the community, that we can reach that ambitious goal.
All right. Is there anything else that you would care to add to this whole scenario?
No, I'm grateful to be with you this morning. And for anyone who is interested, I'd look forward to sharing why I'm so optimistic about this opportunity. And I'm interested in hearing from the community how they can be a part of this important solution.
And for folks outside of the university community, how can they reach you?
They can send me an email at president@bsu.edu.
That's a very unique moniker right there.
Thank you. It's very creative.
All right. President Jeffrey Mearns of Ball State University, thank you for coming in this morning and discussing the possible Ball State management of the Muncie Community Schools.
Thank you, Stan.